All right, get ready, because we're diving into this book review you sent about Die Wand aus Glas, which I think translates to The Wall of Glass.
Yeah, The Wall of Glass.
By Monica Klofmanstetten.
Right.
And this is not just about animals, right?
Right.
This is about how we see animals.
It's fascinating. You know, I was reading through the review you sent, and the reviewer themselves, they identify as an atheist and humanist.
Okay.
Which I thought was an interesting, you know, perspective.
Yeah.
To bring to this kind of book. And they were pointing out that Klofmanstetten in the book, she doesn't just look at, like, you know, new animal research, but she's really analyzing how we think about the research.
So meta.
Yeah, bringing in, like, philosophy and science.
Critic philosophy of science, but about animals.
Exactly. Even mythology, she touches on that.
Oh, huh. Okay, so the review mentions that the book is divided into three parts.
Okay.
The first one is from animal research to animal philosophy, which right off the bat already sounds like we're going beyond just telling people about animals, but making them really think about animals.
Yeah.
What's the biggest takeaway from this section?
Well, she dives right into this question that, you know, humans have been kind of wrestling with for centuries.
Okay.
Which is, do animals think like us?
Mm.
Like, do they actually think? And, you know, she uses the example of language.
Yep.
Some scientists, you know, they believe that language is essential for thought.
No language, no thought.
Right. It's just pure instinct.
Fascinating.
But Klofmanstetten, she kind of throws out this idea, like, what if, right?
Yeah.
What if intelligence exists in forms that we don't, like, even grasp?
It's so true. We're so limited by our own human-centric view.
Exactly.
Like, are we even asking the right questions?
Yeah. Are we just completely missing it?
Because we're so stuck in our own way of thinking.
That's exactly the kind of question the book makes you think about.
Yeah.
And she goes on to explore, you know, like, what is consciousness?
Right.
Because that even plays into it. Like, you know, does consciousness require self-awareness, language?
Sure.
And, you know, can we apply those same standards to a creature that's, you know, experiencing the world through smell?
Totally.
Or sonar, you know, like a bat.
Oh, that's a good point.
It's a different way of processing information.
Yeah, and we were talking about assumptions. Another big one the book gets into is, like, can humans and animals ever really be friends?
Right.
And there's this great anecdote. I love this. It's about Thomas Aquinas.
Yeah, go ahead. This medieval philosopher.
Yeah.
And he believed that true friendship, you had to have this shared rationality.
Interesting.
Which he thought animals lacked.
Yeah.
So to him, friendship across species lines, nope, not possible.
Wow. So it's like he's coming from this very specific worldview.
Totally.
And that's like coloring his whole definition of what friendship even is.
Yeah.
It really makes you think about, like, how much does our own culture and our time period, how does that influence how we view friendship?
Yeah. Are we being too strict?
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Like, maybe our definition's too narrow. Maybe we're missing out.
Right. Because we're so focused
on the human experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one thing to, like, sit around and think these big thoughts. But then there are people who actually go out and try to, like, bridge that gap between humans and animals.
Right.
Like, really get in there.
Yeah. And the review actually mentions some pretty extreme examples.
Oh, yeah. Klofmanstetten. She talks about this guy, Charles Foster.
Okay.
He really went for it. Like, lived as a badger.
What?
An otter. A deer.
No way. Serious.
Yeah, like full-on immersion.
Wow. So did it work? I mean, can we ever really get outside of, like, our human brains and really understand what it's like to be a
badger.
Yeah, a badger.
Yeah.
Or, you know, any other animal.
That's the big question, right?
Right.
And the reviewer points out that Klofmanstetten uses Foster's story and some others like it to talk about this idea of, like, embodied experience.
Okay.
So, like, okay, can I really understand what it's like to be a bat, you know, flying around using sonar?
Right.
Just by, like, sitting here thinking about it. Or do I need to actually, like, experience the world through a bat's senses?
So it's not even just about changing your mind. It's about changing your, like, whole sensory experience.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh.
And there's another kind of case study that the book dives into.
Okay.
Have you heard of Helen MacDonald?
Yeah. Yeah, the hawk lady.
Right. She wrote that book, H's for Hawk.
Yeah, yeah. About training a goshawk.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, you might think falconry is all about dominance, like humans controlling these birds.
Right, right.
But Klofmanstetten, she points out that MacDonald really found it to be about, like, respect and cooperation, even.
That's so interesting. It's like how people talk about the bond between, like, a dog and its owner. You know, it's not just about, like, sit, stay.
Right, there's something more there.
Yeah, like a mutual understanding.
And Clothman Stetton uses this whole thing with McDonald to examine something else about how we see animals.
Okay, what's that?
It's like we use them to process our own emotions. So for McDonald, the hawk became this way for her to, like, deal with grief.
Oh, wow.
She had lost her father, and it's like the hawk gave her this whole different way of looking at that loss, you know?
He's like, animals reflect our own emotions back at us.
Exactly, yeah. Makes you think about all the ways that animals show up in our stories, even when we're not, you know, trying to live like them.
Totally, like myths even. I think the review mentioned something about how the book looks at animals in mythology.
Oh, yeah. Clothman Stetton, she says that we've always used animals to try and make sense of the world and ourselves, you know?
Right.
Think about those classic animal archetypes. The fox, the loyal dog.
The wise owl.
Exactly. Those aren't just stories about animals. They're stories about us.
I never thought about it that way, but it's so true.
They reflect our fears, our values,
right.
All of it.
It's like by understanding how we see animals, we can understand ourselves a little better.
Yeah.
But even if we can never really get inside an animal's head, shouldn't we at least try to treat them ethically?
Right, of course.
The review mentions something about animal ethics. I feel like that's a whole other can of worms.
Yeah, that could be a whole other deep dive.
It really is. It's like intellectually you try to be, you know, objective about it.
Right.
But then you have your own feelings about animals.
Right. It gets messy.
It does. It gets really complicated. So how does The Wall of Glass deal with this whole thing? Like, does the author, does she give us any solid answers about how we should treat animals?
Well, that's what I think makes this book so interesting. It's not really about, like, here are the rules.
Okay.
You know, the reviewer even says that's one of the best things about it.
Mm.
Clothman Stetton, she's not trying to preach. She's trying to get people to, like, actually grapple with the issues.
To think for themselves.
Yeah. And there's this quote from the book. I wrote it down because it just, like, stuck with me. In the realm of animal ethics.
Okay.
Certainty is often the first casualty of genuine thought.
Ooh, I like that. Because it's so true. Sometimes the more you learn about something.
Right.
The less certain you are.
Exactly.
So would you say, like, overall, this is a book the reviewer recommends?
Oh, yeah, for sure. They call it a highly intelligent and instructive examination of how we relate to animals. And I think even just from the review, you can tell it really got them thinking.
Which is what you want, right?
Yeah.
A book that challenges you. You know, I just thought of something. The reviewer mentioned they're an atheist and a humanist. I wonder if that, like, colors how they see this whole topic.
You know, that's a really good point. And I think, yeah, it probably does.
Yeah, yeah.
The reviewer kind of hints that there might be, like, a bit of an anthropocentric bias in the book.
Interesting.
Like, even when Clothman Stetton's trying to understand animals,
yeah,
maybe she still kind of puts humans at the center.
Well, which is hard not to do, right? We're trapped in our own perspective.
Exactly.
But that's what's so fascinating about it, isn't it? Like, we've gone from animal thought to friendship, from hawks and badgers to, like, myths and stories.
It's all connected.
It is. It all comes back to how we see animals and what that says about us.
Right. And in the end, the reviewer leaves us with this question.
Okay.
They ask, could reading this book actually help someone understand their relationships with other people better?
Whoa, that's deep. Like, by understanding other species, we understand ourselves.
Yeah, it's like that saying, what is it? We see ourselves most clearly reflected in the eyes of others.
Ooh, I like that. Maybe it works with other species, too.
Maybe so.
Well, there you have it. Another deep dive complete.
On to the next one.
To our listener, if you want to explore this whole human-animal bond thing, The Wall of Glass sounds like it's worth checking out. Let us know what you think. Until next time.